tuned into the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jack Peterson here with Jim Healy on Thursday, July 16th. Good morning, Jim.
Can you see me over here?
I can just make you out through the haze.
Yeah. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning to you, Jim. I hear it in my voice. You sound clear as a bell to me.
Woke up in the middle of the night and shut all the windows to the house that we usually have open. And I pedaled in this morning, but a beautiful sunrise. I mean, I'd hate like heck to say it, what smoke does to sunrises and sunsets. But I don't know if I want to pay that price. I just soon have a regular sunrise with no smoke.
Yeah. For our listeners not in the immediate Sandpoint area, tuned in from around the world, we should inform you that we're talking about smoke that blew in the middle of last night. It was perfectly clear at sunset last night.
It was.
I think it seemed like about 10 o'clock. The wind picked up.
And came
suddenly,
from the north.
Yeah.
It came from the north.
And now we're surrounded by a haze. I have some air quality information here from airnow.gov. And
is that ERR?
It looks like we're in the city of Sandpoint. About 143 is the parts per 2.5 million number, which is in that kind of orange to yellow, unhealthy for sensitive people range. Over in a little bit to our east, kind of on the not quite to the Sunnyside Peninsula, but further down the lake shore a little bit, they're into the red at 182, unhealthy. But then you keep moving on to Hope, and that number starts to drop a little bit. And in Clark Fork, it says that they have clear air right now, 41. And same thing over in Newport.
So isn't that amazing?
Sort of a narrow band of
smoke. It's a narrow band,
coming right down the lake. And it appears, if we read the front page of today's Daily Bee, it appears to be coming from a fire in
Turner Hill.
Yeah. North of, up in Boundary County.
Right. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Robin, hey. We've got Robin Rawlings here with us from the executive director from the Habitat for Humanity. And we're talking smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how's it been impacting you in your life?
Oh, I feel it. I live in the valley and I woke up this morning too. I was like, oh, is that my throat?
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. It's that time of year, and especially we have been so doing without rain, you know. Of course, you know, I don't want the lightning strike kind of rain. I want the Midwestern rain, slow, gentle, soaking in.
I was just thinking that. I want a little drizzle to water my plants, and I don't have to.
Yep.
Well, let me then give you a little weather forecast, folks. This
Please
seems
do.
Like a good time. The high today, 98 degrees.
Oh,
I know. And I'm not sure how the smoke's going to affect that. It's currently 75 though. At least in the, behind the studio here in the alley, there is a slight chance of thunderstorms tonight, or today, about a 20% chance and a 40% chance of thunderstorms overnight tonight. The low 64 degrees. Tomorrow, the high is 92, and once again, a slight chance of thunderstorms in the morning, and then getting sunny again on Friday afternoon. Sunny in 91 on Saturday, sunny in 91 on Sunday, sunny 95 on Monday. This, and according to at least the National Weather Service, it's calling for clear skies, but that's unpredictable because who knows what this smoke is going to do and how the forest fires are going to react to all this hot weather.
I take issue with the National Weather Forest Service, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why don't they say a chance of rain? Why thunderstorms?
Yeah.
You know, that just makes me scared. You know, that when I think of thunderstorms, I think of lightning.
Mm-hmm. I do, and trees falling.
Exactly, and fires starting up again. Why not just get away from the fear tactics and we can keep our fingers crossed for rain.
Mm-hmm. Let's hope. Anyway, it could happen, but it looks like if you were going to place a bet, I would bet against.
Yeah.
According to the National 20% Weather Service.
If you're in the 80% of where...
yeah.
I do have a weather forecast for the D.C. area, as I always try to do on Thursdays, to the magic of technology. My sister in Arlington, Virginia, has a black canister on her kitchen counter, and she says, 88.5 KRFY, and boom, there we are, Alexa. And she says, good morning, Jim. Weather 87 now, high of 98 expected. Poor air quality due to Canadian wildfire smoke drifting southward.
Hmm.
Oh, those Canadians. Hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess and who knows, maybe that's impacting us as well. I don't know.
Maybe it's impacting all the people in D.C.
Could be. I think we've got the forecast from our Hungry Jack Lake is that they are also in northern Minnesota. They also
and why Minnesota, Jack?
That's where I think my mother and brother are both listening from the old family place up on Hungry
Jack
Lake.
Hello to Jack's mom.
And they say they had some yellow sky as well. Ooh. There's some smoke in the air up there too.
But that fire's got to be from somewhere else.
I think so.
Not from.
Yeah, I don't think it's from.
We
us.
Don't share our smoke.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Okay. Let's. What else is new? We do have two final teams for the FIFA Cup.
Is that right?
From 64, we're now down to south of the hemisphere, the southern hemisphere, Argentina, mm-hmm. and representing north of the hemisphere, Spain. Argentina
wow.
and Spain.
Okay.
Are going to be. This Sunday, I think, and I don't remember where it's going to take place, but they're going to be kicking the ball around.
Have you been watching the World Cup, Jim?
I have. It depends. Yesterday, I watched Senate hearings. That was much more riveting than I've tried to watch. I don't totally understand the game. I don't know if I totally understand offsides and things like that. But I'm intrigued by. Geez, the skill and the artistry of what they do with their feet just blows me away. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm lucky I can stand on my two feet, and these people are...
Oh, they're amazing.
Yeah. Are you watching some of it?
I watch a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just when my husband or the kids want to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just agog, and and I love the shots of the fans. They are... A heart and soul into it, and
fanatics.
Yeah, that's where we get fan from.
Yeah.
But that is, and then the other thing I think I should mention about coming downtown here today, there was these black bags.
I saw them.
You saw them? All over downtown, and they were over our new parking kiosks, or whatever you want to call them. And I want to say it's sort of scary. I could see a horror movie. You know, people in this small town wake up one morning and there's these black bags.
Mm-hmm.
And what's underneath them? And woo. Anyway, I don't know the story behind them. It has to do with the parking situation. And they're probably too much smoke in their eyes to figure out what the situation is.
That's yeah. We'll talk about this on the news tomorrow.
Good.
I will say that I don't know yet either. Exactly. I know that there was a city council meeting last night, which was anticipated to be dramatic. And I must confess that I did not go to it. I went to City Beach instead, and I grilled brats. How about that?
And it was clear.
It was clear, and it was a lovely evening, and I thought, this is going to be a nice weekend. And that was...
And it cools down nicely there on the city beach.
It does.
It does.
Anyway, so I did... Yes, we have a visitor from out of town who's just arrived all of a sudden, so that's what I did instead.
Oh, what fun.
And I missed that city council meeting. Oh, darn.
Was James there?
He was.
Did James go in the water?
James did go in the water.
Does he like the water?
Oh, yes, he loves it. Yeah, he was in it. He was there the whole time. Yeah,
oh,
pretty much.
Wonderful.
Barely got him dried off enough to have a hot dog.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. Ask me later about air conditioning, Jim, if we run out of other things to talk about. No, but we should.
Let's not go there.
Yeah. But it's the Thursday morning show. Jack and Jim here, and we're talking to Robin Rawlings, who is the executive director of the Habitat for Humanity, Idaho Panhandle Habitat for Humanity. I guess I should clarify.
We have a few habitats around.
Yeah.
one or two.
Yeah. And I guess Idaho Panhandle Habitat for Humanity, you've been in here, I think, once before, Robin. Mm-hmm. But just tell us about this organization. I think a lot of people are probably familiar with Habitat for Humanity as that, you know, Jimmy Carter goes out with a hammer and builds a house somewhere. That's what I know about Habitat for Humanity.
That's pretty much it. We build houses. No, what we really do is we try to focus on, you know, kind of bringing hope to the community, bringing people together, building homes, and affordable homes.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times you have, there's this belief with Habitat that everybody deserves a decent, affordable home.
Amen.
And so, yeah, amen to that. And it's part of our mission. It's just getting people, working with families, to get them that forever home.
How long has the Habitat for Humanity been in North Idaho?
So for the Panhandle, we started in 1991. So 35 years we're celebrating this year.
And do you know much about the history of important people who might have contributed to it? Or
so I will tell you, there's this whole documentary on YouTube about how Habitat International in general started, and they're celebrating their 50th
year.
So it actually started before Jimmy Carter, in this like small Alabama town. And boy, I sure hope I don't mess that up.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched the documentary; it's very interesting.
What did you just punch in Habitat for Humanity and you'll get it?
Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And the goal was to help families get into homes and build homes. There was this population of just families that didn't have anywhere to live. And the mission is, you know, it's stayed the same. It's evolved a little over time, and how it's grown tremendously. We are in just about every state, and you'll find here, even in the North Idaho, we have a few habitats.
Now, do you have any statistics on, in the 35 years, the number of homes? Because I know that home building is just part of your mission, but do you have any numbers?
I do. So for us in particular, this is our 26th home in the community. So we're building right now number 25 and number 26. We have two amazing local families that are lined up for these homes, and we're super excited about it. It's right there next to Farman Elementary School. And this year, we're doing something a little different. We've partnered with Lexar Homes.
Okay.
And so they are doing the builds for us. We'll have some opportunity for volunteers as well.
I'm sort of curious. We focus on the home. How about the property? Do you work with donated property or, you know, when you pick a place for a home to be built? How does one decide on the location?
Well, it's what we have available, Jim.
Okay.
But really, a lot of the properties were purchased ahead of time. So, so we've had them for quite a while. This is the last two lots that we have in Sandpoint.
Okay.
And then we have a property in Kootenai.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then we have 7 acres in Ponderay that we'll be focusing on after our Kootenai build.
Would that be multiple?
Oh, it's going to be amazing. We have this vision of just having some smaller homes for seniors, having, you know, a community, maybe even having some veteran built homes. So it's going to be great.
Habitat for Humanity, Idaho Panhandle Habitat for Humanity, which has been here for 35 years. What's your kind of service area? You mentioned that there's a couple other Habitat for Humanities in North Idaho.
There is. So really, we service anywhere in Bonner County.
Okay.
Up to Boundary County as well. So Priest River all the way to Bonner's Ferry.
Okay. And what's the relationship of Idaho Panhandle Habitat for Humanity with like the rest of the national organization or the international organization, I guess.
We're all affiliates. Mm-hmm. So we report to Habitat International in terms of, you know, compliance, following their rules, making sure we have sufficient insurance. And there are a lot of rules I found out. Mm-hmm. But each affiliate is somewhat independent. We just have to follow Habitat International rules. And so we have a build requirement of at least one every 3 years. Mm-hmm. We're trying to really focus on growth at our habitat and really trying to get it to the point where we're doing maybe one a year or multiple. Mm-hmm. But we're a small rural affiliate and we're just regrowing, making changes.
Mm-hmm. Is that your primary funding source or what kind of resources does the international organization, send to the Idaho Panhandle?
Yeah, they give us marketing materials. In terms of resources or funding, we really kind of, rely on donors. Mm-hmm. We rely on our ReStore. If you haven't visited that before, that's here in Sandpoint, off of Baldy Park Drive. The majority of our funds that we raise come from there.
Okay.
So one more time, off of Baldy Drive.
So we're right behind the Miller's grocery store.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Have you never been in there, Jim?
I have. I have. Okay. But yeah. But I tend to have a tendency to just drive right on by.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to stop
right
by.
On Baldy. Mm-hmm. It's off a little bit. I'm a frequent visitor of the it's closer to where I live in Sandpoint than driving out to the home improvement stores out in Ponderay. So I always stop there and say, well, maybe they got one at the ReStore.
Well, I'll tell you, we get inventory at least probably twice a week. Mm-hmm. And we look for, you know, gently used items, furniture, appliances, and then we can turn around, clean them up, and then sell them at a reasonable price. And we've got some very high-end items, but we also have some really just everyday items as well. And even the high-end items, it's like a quarter of the cost that you would find anywhere else. Mm-hmm. But every dollar goes back into building our homes.
You mentioned inventory twice a week. I mean, does it come in from elsewhere or is it just locally?
It is all local donors.
Okay.
And our ReStore manager sets up pickups and he'll go out there and mm-hmm. pick up the items and then he prices them and...
If one wants to donate and let's say has a large item, let's say a stand-up freezer in the garage, how does one make an arrangement? Is there a phone number?
There is. You'll just have to call the ReStore phone number.
Okay.
And I don't have it memorized.
Okay. One can, I would imagine, Google it.
Mm-hmm.
And which Jack is doing right now.
Oh, thank you, Jack.
Yeah, let's see here.
I'll tell you, it's really close to my personal phone number. So when I took this position, I mean, I get a ton of calls, which I appreciate, and I love talking to people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Could it be 265-5313?
I think that sounds just about perfect.
Okay. 208-265-5313. And what are the hours of the ReStore?
Yeah, we are open Tuesday through Saturday from 9 to 4.
Tuesday through Saturday and off on Sunday, Monday.
Yes.
Okay, 9 to 4.
Yes, indeed. at 1527 Baldy Park Drive, just off of Baldy Mountain Road. The wonderful ReStore. I recommend it. I recommend it highly.
Have you found some treasures there?
I have. Usually I go and go into the back, the big back warehouse, and I'm looking for, I can't remember what I got there, some kind, all sorts of stuff, plumbing stuff, maybe, you know, if I'm doing a little, I had to repair underneath the sink or something like that, and got, got a little, some sections of the right pipe and stuff like that. I think I bought a door there, maybe two doors there. Yeah. I always go and look. And I think, I mean, I don't need a refrigerator right now, but when I do, the first place I'm going to look is the Restore, because you've got some nice ones.
We really do.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, when I go in there, I have to, I'm like, oops, I'm spending money again.
Mm-hmm. That's
right. And so my sister is moving to a new place, and I'm like, I will shop the Restore and furnish your apartment for you.
Nice.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Restore is where you make, is the bulk of the funding for Habitat for Humanity comes from the Restore.
Yeah.
Cool. And where else do you get resources? Where else do you get financial resources?
Individual donors, and then we are participating with Habitat International's Habitat 2.0, they call it. And so people can donate their vehicles, and then we get a portion of that. If it's within the local area, if they have major donors that donate to Habitat International, we get a portion of that. And then local community donors here that, you know, want to send us, you know, an annual contribution, we appreciate that. And then grants. And then something that we've never done before that we're doing now that we've started over this year, our fundraising events.
And you have a couple upcoming events, don't you?
Oh, we really do. And we're super, super excited about that. August 1st, we are doing an event at the Restore. We're calling it the Community Restore Carnival. And we're going to have a bounce house and games for children. And Lexar will be there talking about the home builds. And we may have a few vendors. So that is super exciting.
Okay.
And a scavenger hunt at the Restore, and we might do like 10% off the store.
August 1st. That's August Saturday.
August 1st, yeah.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
It's almost a little over 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
Yeah. But our most exciting event, which we've never done before in the last 35 years, is we are going to have a concert pianist at the Panada on September 25th.
What day of the week is that?
That is a Friday.
Oh, okay, good.
And so what's really exciting about that is we are having, we're featuring Jim Isaac Chua, and I have a little information on him.
Sure,
that's
please do.
Super exciting. So he solo debuted at the Carnegie Hall in 2009. He's a Filipino-American pianist. And he's performed in concert halls, palaces, cultural institutions across more than a dozen countries. And then he's gone from Canada, China, Japan, Poland, France, Italy, Austria. And his playing has been praised by radio as an incredible feast for the ears.
Jim Isaac Chua. Okay.
Yeah, he's he's really amazing to work with, and he's going to be amazing to listen to. And because he's very community focused, during our concert in the daytime, we are inviting students from the schools to come and listen for free.
Excellent. I like the title of the event, Keys for Keys.
Yeah, that's exciting because guess what? We're doing piano keys. For home keys.
Home keys. Okay, and that is on Friday, September 25th at the Panada. And tickets at panada.org?
Tickets will be at panada.org.
Perfect.
We'll also have them on our website. And we're doing something fun because we have a VIP reception at the Little Theater before the concert. We're trying to keep tickets at a reasonable price because the joy of listening to the music is really important.
Wonderful. And you mentioned the website. What's the website URL?
Our website is panhandlehabitat.org.
Okay. Panhandle Habitat. Squished together.org. .org. Okay. And we're here with Robin Rawlings here at 88.5 KRFY, and we're going to take a music break and then come back and talk more about the needs and some of the big asks that the organization has. Rather than going into music history on this date, I thought I would play a song or two that are appropriate to what we're experiencing right now. And here are the Platters from a 1958 number one chart-topping song, smoke gets in your eyes.
My true love was true. I must reply.
The Wonderful Platters, Twilight Time, and all sorts of great hits. Appropriately, smoke gets in your eyes. And I ran into that this morning while pedaling down here. And you did too, I bet, Jack.
I did indeed. Yes, a smoky Thursday here on 88.5 KRFY. We're talking to Robin Rawlings, the executive director of the Idaho Panhandle Habitat for Humanity. And before we get too much further, I guess we better ask. Right now, we know that Habitat is in the process of building one. You're going to fill up the last two lots that you have in the city of Sandpoint.
Yes.
And you've already selected families for that, so you can't apply for that. But how do you, without giving anybody's personal details or anything, how do you select who's going to end up getting these homes and then go from there? But let's talk about the application process.
Yeah, we do have an application process, and we have a family selection committee. So once we open up applications for the next build, we'll receive all of those applications. The family selection committee will review them, and we're really looking for families that want to partner with us. They have to put in 300 community hours into these builds, whether it's working on building their own home or another Habitat home or just working in the community. Mm-hmm. We do a personal interview with each of the families. There needs to be a need.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be within the medium income range, and they have to be able to qualify for a mortgage. So
what does that mean?
Well, they have to have income coming in so that we know that they can pay their taxes and insurance and be able to make a payment on a home.
Okay.
So we have this motto, it's a hand up, not a handout. And so when we select the families, we work with them on their budget, we review their income. And then traditionally our Habitat has always held onto the mortgages. So we keep them in-house at a zero interest.
Okay.
And then these families pay us back, for the cost of the build up to 30% of their income. So we have to make the home affordable for them.
Mm-hmm.
So each home is really customized to the family.
Mm-hmm. But it's affordable housing. It's not free. Housing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It is affordable housing, not mm-hmm. free. So for an example, a home that would be listed for $600,000, we would probably provide a first mortgage to that family at, say, $350,000,
mm-hmm.
and then provide the down payment assistance as a silent second that we would forgive a portion for each year that they are in the home and they make their payment on time.
Uh-huh.
They have to make some commitments to us. They have to be ambassadors for Habitat. We have to know that, having a Habitat home, what does that mean for them? How is that going to change their life and make their life better in the end for them and their families?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the big things that we're looking for when we choose a Habitat recipient.
Yeah.
How long does it take to put up a house?
Oh, I got to tell you, these two particular builds, we had some mm-hmm. setbacks. So it did take us about 2 years. The goal is to really try to build one a year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then from there, really get focused on building communities and larger developments.
And these two that you have under construction, when will they be done?
Well, our goal is to be home by Christmas.
Ooh,
So, I think that would be really amazing. We've really tried to foster a relationship with the city so that they understand our purpose. So that's kind of where we're at right now. We're still in the permit phase, Jim. Okay. I'm not going to lie. But I think once that goes, I have weekly meetings with our builder. It should go pretty fast.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And that builder, again, it's Lexar Homes?
Lexar Homes, yeah. Yes.
And it's, so in other words, you're not doing the, you're not looking for a bunch of volunteers to come and build a house.
What we want is we partner with other subcontractors that Lexar might use to reduce the cost of our build. Because mm-hmm. The more affordable that we can keep that build, right. The more that we could, reduce the price for the homeowner, mm-hmm. but also allows us to continue to build.
Yeah.
We don't borrow funds to do these builds. They are all cash builds. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we don't have a bunch of money laying around. It's we have enough to do the builds, to help families with repairs, and to help veterans with repairs as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay, but it's all licensed subcontractors that
absolutely.
End up doing the
yeah.
the work.
Yeah.
It's not you're not looking for somebody with a tool belt to come and
help out. Mm-hmm. We're not. There's a lot of liability that goes yeah. into volunteer builds, and mm-hmm. we have done that in the past. But really, what we're looking for, there's so many qualified individuals out there.
Yeah.
But we're looking for quality builds that are going to last, so that this is their forever home.
Yeah. I gotcha. Yeah.
And we're always looking for volunteers. There are ways to give back. Our Restore mm-hmm. definitely has some needs, but also when we do repairs for other families, that's a great way to give back as well.
Mm-hmm. Those repairs are, so you are looking for volunteers sometimes to do repairs for what?
Well, individual families. So we mm-hmm. get a lot of need for people that need wheelchair ramps mm-hmm. or, a new fencing.
Mm-hmm.
We may get a request for, flooring or little minor repairs. And then when we do our veteran builds in our veteran repair program, we're limited in the amount of funds that we have to spend on that. So getting volunteers or subcontractors or contractors that want to donate some of their time really helps us, our dollars last.
Mm-hmm. For those last two, the most recent two homes or the two homes that you're building now, how many families do apply typically for that?
We typically get about 10 to 15 families that apply.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a strenuous process. So we have a family selection committee that reviews all those applications, and then they bring them to the board.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a selection process from there.
Hmm. How do you choose? How does one choose? Well, one doesn't have to.
It's
a committee
so hard.
Chooses.
It really, yeah. It is hard. I mean, I wish I did not have to make that choice.
Yeah. You wish that you had a house for every one of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There are so many people in need. But really, it comes down to those that have a willingness to partner with us.
Mm-hmm.
And then who has a greater need. How is it going to impact their lives?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to make that difference for them? And yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. Right now, mm-hmm. we have a single mother. And then a family, and she's a family of three. And then we have a lovely young couple with two children.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and they need to have lived in our community for at least 2 years.
Ah, okay. That's interesting. Okay.
And is there any commitment to how long they stay in that house?
Absolutely. So if they move out of the house within... for a 3-month time period, the note is due, and the second is not forgiven.
Mm.
So they can choose to sell the home. We just have first right of refusal so that we could provide it to another Habitat
applicant
if necessary.
Because it could happen. Somebody finds a relocation for their job or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean, first refusal? Now you're getting into real estate talk.
So if they are a Habitat homeowner and they want to sell the home, mm-hmm. they need to ask us first if we want to repurchase it back from them.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And do you usually? Well, I don't know if you.
I think
had
we've
that.
Only done that once.
I was going to say. Yeah. I was going to say. How often do you do that?
Okay. Yeah, hardly ever. Most of our families stay in their homes until it's paid off, or you know, well, actually, yeah, until it's paid off. Hmm.
So over time, eventually, the family will own that home.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. And we've had a bunch. In fact,
party.
Yeah, we've had about 10 that have been paid off.
Wonderful.
We hold 15 mortgages right now. And then within the next couple of years, we have about two or three more families that will be completely paid off.
Cool.
Mm. Yeah, that's a party. That's a celebration.
I was going to say, that's got to be an event.
Oh, definitely is. Like, I love that. In fact, during my tenure now, we've had one family with their home paid off. So that was super exciting.
Cool.
What'd you do when they paid it off?
Well, we celebrated. Yeah. I mean, I really wanted a picture of them and yeah. everything and just, you cool. know, congratulations. And so their particular case, they ended up giving the home to their daughter.
Mm. Oh, sweet.
Nice. So I'm like, it continues in the family. And that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And stays in the community.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. The families that are currently living in Habitat homes, you must interact with them quite a bit. I mean, because you've asked them to they stay participating. Right?
We definitely try. You know, we do have a few rare cases where they kind of just want to be left alone, and that's mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. But we want them to know that we're here for them in terms mm-hmm. of if they're struggling, if they have questions or concerns, or they need, you know, something major repaired, we mm-hmm. want to be there for them and help them work through it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they struggle with not understanding, we really try to work with them on understanding, you know, what it takes to be a homeowner and how to pay property taxes sure. and insurance and how to make minor repairs. And so we're partnered with them, you know, for as long as they have that home, we want them to know mm-hmm. you can reach out to us. We're happy to answer questions and help you if you need to.
Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, you mentioned wheelchair ramps and some other things that Habitat will do for community members, not just for people who live in the Habitat homes.
Correct.
So, I mean, if somebody's out there and has a need, so they find themselves suddenly having mobility problems, they can reach out to Habitat for Humanity?
They can reach out to us mm-hmm. And we have a small application process for that, and mm-hmm. we'll try to help them get that set up.
Mm-hmm.
Repairs and helping the community are just as important to us as building the homes.
Yeah. What kind of repair work do you usually do? Broken windows?
Well, mostly we do the wheelchair ramps, but we have helped individuals with like smoke alarms, getting them set mm-hmm. up with connecting them with the right people at reduced cost if they need, you know, inside repairs. For our veterans, we have the veteran grant program that we fund every year. Mm-hmm. Last year, we did two roofs, some foundation, some flooring, and a plumbing issue. This year so far, we have a few applicants we're still working with. We have two roof requests, and we've helped some fire remediation with landscaping, and then we did a plumbing water filtration system.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Earlier you mentioned, you know, the applications go before the board. Say a little bit about the board. How many members, and do they change, that sort of thing?
Yeah, our board commitment is roughly 2 years.
Okay.
However, we are in need of board members.
How many board members does the Habitat for Humanity have?
Right now, we have 5 board members.
And what's the ideal number?
Really, we would like to be about 7 or 8.
Okay. And what's involved being a board member for the Habitat?
Yeah, we have a meeting once a month.
Okay.
And then that's our large board meeting. And then we have some subcommittees.
Okay.
So we have a fundraising and marketing subcommittee. Really, I'd like to have someone that's focused on being like a construction liaison and helping with that part of things. Like I said, we are in the middle of growth and change within this last year. And so I really would like board members that are committed to our mission. that have a passion for helping others, have a passion sure. for these builds. That's and for our community.
If one is interested to find out more information, does one go to the website and is there a link there?
Yeah, we're still building our website out as well. That's a whole new website for us.
Okay.
But what I would do is reach out to the ReStore and they will get them in contact with me and I can send them a board application or come join one of our board meetings. We typically meet on Tuesdays once a month.
Like what number Tuesday?
Like the third Tuesday of every month.
Okay.
Right now we're meeting at the Luxor office at 5:15 p.m.
And where's that located?
Right there on 4th Street.
Hmm.
4th Street. 4th Street. 4th Street. Help me, Jack.
Like right over there.
Oh,
right?
I can see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. And you'd like to have about 8 or 9 board members?
I would,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. And how about sponsors? Tell me more about sponsors.
Well, that's a big deal for us. It's fundraising is new, and we want to reach out to the community and ask for sponsorships for some of our events.
Okay.
And donors, people that have a passion for building homes and helping those that need it to get into affordable housing. And so if you're willing to be a sponsor or you want to sponsor one of our events like this concert, please reach out. Drop me an email at rrollings@iphfh.org, and we can go from there.
And the two events coming up, Saturday, August 1st, the Habitat Community Carnival.
Yeah,
At the ReStore.
At the ReStore, and it's grown. What started out as something like, well, let's just have a small barbecue event at the ReStore has really grown to this amazing carnival.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then on September 25th, a Friday, a concert is going to occur with pianist James Isaac Chua, Keys for Keys, and it's a fundraiser, and find out more information at I want to say habitatforhumanity.org, but it's not. It's
panhandlehabitat.org.
There we go. There we go, panhandle. Robin, thank you so much for stopping by and providing a valuable. Is there anything we haven't talked about that you'd like to, in closing?
Oh, I could talk for hours probably about Habitat. I think I wake up thinking about it. I go to bed thinking about it. Watch for amazing things from us because we really want to be a part of this community, make change, and just give back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, what happens with a lot of organizations like Habitat, that they're there, but they're not visible.
Right.
And there's so many outstanding organizations in Sandpoint area, Bonner County, that simply do not get the attention or the recognition that they well deserve. And they provide so much for the quality of life for our members of our community. And so I want to thank you.
Well, thank you for having me.
And anytime that you need the airwaves, just give us enough, like before the September concert, if you'd like to come in and do a pitch, we'd be more than happy to have you.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do.
Okay. Good luck going out to that air. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, we're going to take a short music break and then come back with community events and picking up with the theme of what's going on outside. Here's the last major hit by the group called The Hollies, of which Graham Nash was a member, from 1974. Appropriately titled, The Air That I Breathe.
The Hollies, you're listening to 88.5 KRFY, and we are back on the air. The air that I breathe, yes, indeed. It's a smoky kind of a Thursday, July 16th here in Sandpoint. We just said good morning to Robin Rawlings, who on the way out mentioned once again, she is looking for board members, some people to help build, rebuild that Habitat for Humanity family here in the Idaho Panhandle that will help continue do that important work that they do.
She mentioned that she's wearing many hats and that if they could get more board members, that it would be helpful with the ongoingness of the business that they do. And that's at panhandlehabitat.org to get more information. And she did say stop out at the Restore and pass word on, and they would send you an application form. But boy, more than anything else, I can testify to the importance of having a good board and good board members. And but let's talk about some upcoming events. I've got three coming up at the Panda Theater.
Okay.
Starting tonight, Dance Works tonight at 7 p.m. The doors open 30 minutes before the show. It's an evening of local dancers of all ages expressing movement through dance. And that's at the Panda Theater, Dance Works 2026.
Cool.
And then on tomorrow, John Craigie will be there with Bart Budwig, 8 p.m. The show's open 1 hour before. And again, with all these events, tickets are available at panda.org.
On that one, you know who's giving us a call here at the radio station is John Craigie.
Right now?
Yeah, not right now. And he'll call in about half an hour, I think. But I'll talk to him. Maybe you'll talk to him, Jim, if you got some questions for John Craigie. And then we'll play it back at 5 o'clock.
Okay,
that's what I'm thinking.
Cool.
For our 5 o'clock that kind of evening show.
I think
that'll be
gap
the,
with the departure of Letters and Politics.
Yeah,
and then Saturday at 7 p.m. Doors open 1 hour before. Full Draw Film Tour. It's a series of films packed with bugling bulls, speed goats, and powerful stories from first-time Full Draw filmmakers, and it has to deal with archery. And that's at the Panda Saturday at 7 p.m. Doors open 1 hour before the show, and with Dance Works and with John Craigie and with the archery Panda.org if you're interested in tickets. And I'm sure at the door as well.
Yeah. This radio station has another little live radio hour coming up next Tuesday on July 21st with Camden Morris. And that is at the Hive at 7 o'clock. You can tune in. But better yet, you should come on down and
that's the 21st.
Yeah. And it's free, totally free. And I just got word from the festival that there's going to be some sort of a discount for festival tickets for those who do come in person to the Hive show. So it's free. I mean, it still doesn't cost you anything to come to the Hive, see the
and
show.
And hear good music and 7 o'clock on the 21st, and then the opportunity to purchase festival tickets.
Yeah. And I still have to work out exactly how that's going to work. I don't know if it'll be like a QR code that we put up on the big screen behind us or what. But yeah, there will be some sort of benefit to you if you're interested in going to the festival if you come down in person. But you can also listen on these airwaves at 7 o'clock. And then on July 25th, that's next Saturday, the library and KRFY are in partnership putting on a show at the Heartwood Center. How about that?
Tell me more.
It's the Hot Club of Spokane.
Okay.
And the library is really, I would say, the brains behind this operation, but they invited KRFY to help co-sponsor this event, which means that we'll go down and be there in person. We're going to broadcast to some extent from the site, so you can come and say hello to us and on the air if you want. And it's a sort of a jazz group. What is the term? Jazz manouche and western swing.
It's a mouthful.
It's a variety, but it's a cool band coming up from Spokane. We'll
be talking more about it next Thursday. So I've got a couple events.
Okay.
Friends of the Panada annual yard sale is on this Saturday at 814 Cedar Street. And all the proceeds, it's sort of like Friends of the Library, the Friends of the Panada, that the money goes directly to the Panada, and the as the Panada expresses, ooh, we have a need for. Mm-hmm. And if it meets what the monies go towards, it's a good way to support the Panada Theater. And so that's 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 814 Cedar Street this Saturday, the Friends of the Panada annual yard sale. And then the Garden of Giving Art Sale and Food Drive featuring Tom Kramer and Robin's Napolitan. I volunteer out at the food bank, as you well know, Jack, and I walk out there with my friend Nancy Rank, and we pass by 508 Forest Avenue. And let me tell you, whoa, what this is join us for a beautiful day of art, gardens, and community. Local artists Tom Kramer and Robin's Napolitan are opening their showcase garden for a special art sale benefiting the Bonner Community Food Bank. It's this Saturday, the 18th, 11 to 5, 508 Forest Avenue. Original artwork priced most from $1 to $50. Bring a non-perishable food donation, and 100% of the sale proceeds support the food bank. So you could hit the Friends of the Panada yard sale, and then it's only about three blocks down Forest Avenue. And let me tell you, the garden just up front is outstanding, spectacular. And so that goes towards the food bank. So two important organizations here in town, and you mentioned a third one, the library, on the 25th. And throughout all of this is 88.5 KRFY.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Weaving our way.
You bet. Yes. But support the Panada, support the food bank, support the library, and support us.
Yes, please.
One of the things I do want to say that is sort of a personal disappointment is that on the 25th, the KRFY annual Sidewalk Day sale of CDs and DVDs will not occur. Simply, not enough donations came in, and I don't want to put on a good, you know, a sale unless I have quality CDs and DVDs. And the donations were not there this year, but I've got a good backlog and a good first step for 2027.
Okay. So it'll be 2027 will be like a 2 years worth.
No,
it'll be even better.
We're going to have a semi parked up front, and it'll be fabulous. So.
Cool. Well, bummer, but anyway, still that's.
But if you do have any CDs or DVDs that you haven't dropped off yet, I got that out. Come up and drop them off at the radio station here at 323 North First Avenue, above the cakery, and we'll be more than happy to accept them.
This is 88.5 KRFY Pondere. Thanks for listening to the morning show, and time now for Bird Note.
Tweet, 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 tweet.
Here we go.